All right, so picture this. You walk into a room and everybody's going nuts about, you guessed it, UFOs.
Oh, here we go.
But not just any UFOs. We're talking about like the originals, 1947.
Ah, the classics.
The ones that basically invented the whole alien playbook. Every encounter, every crazy story you've ever heard.
Roswell and all that.
That's our deep dive for today. And forget those blurry photos and shaky videos.
We're going old school.
We're going straight to the source. A book, a real page-turner,
Yeah.
that breaks down this whole 1947 thing.
Like the historical context.
Exactly. We're talking preface, introduction,
Yeah.
setting the scene for when the world went, well,
A little bit UFO crazy.
a lot UFO crazy. But here's where it gets interesting. The book, it connects this whole thing to
Mars.
Mars.
Yeah, Mars.
Like, turns out 1947 wasn't the first time Martians were the talk of the town.
Hold on. So before Little Green Men, it was Little Red Men.
You got it. So, expert, what was it about Mars that had everyone seeing red, so to speak?
Okay, so get this. For decades before 47, Mars was like the Beyoncé of the solar system.
Beyoncé.
Okay, maybe not Beyoncé, but Mars was the extraterrestrial celebrity. We're talking like front page news, books, the whole shebang.
People were obsessed.
Obsessed. And it wasn't just, fiction, although there was a ton of that. No, people were sending actual signals to Mars.
We're like trying to get their attention.
Exactly. Like, hey, Martians, you up? They were flashing lights, sending radio waves, you name it.
Hold up. They were sending radio waves to Mars back then, like before we even had color TV.
Technology was a different beast back then. But yeah, they were serious. One guy, Nikola Tesla.
Wait, the Nikola Tesla, the inventor dude.
The one and only. He built this massive tower, right? Specifically to transmit these super powerful radio waves to Mars.
No way. What, like he was trying to call them on a giant space phone?
Basically, he was convinced he could chat with Martians. That's how real this Mars mania was.
That's wild. Okay, so picture this. It's
Ugh.
1947. The world's still kind of shaky from World War II, right?
Recovering,
New
rebuilding.
technologies popping up left and right. It's like the future just arrived.
And nobody knew what to expect.
Right. And on top of all that, the book. It really emphasizes this point. There's this huge cloud of like suspicion hanging over everything.
Because of the atomic bomb.
Exactly. The
Yeah.
bomb was this massive secret. It's
I
like,
hate
and
it.
suddenly it's like, boom, the world realizes, hey, governments can keep secrets, big secrets.
And that changes everything.
Totally. So people are primed for a mystery, right? They're looking for answers, and then boom, Kenneth Arnold.
The pilot, right.
Yeah, Kenneth Arnold, this respected pilot, he sees those nine shiny whatchamacallits flying around Mount Rainier. And I don't mean some fuzzy lights in the sky.
He knew what he was looking at.
He was a pilot. He knew planes. He knew speed. He knew the sky. And whatever he saw, it wasn't anything he'd ever seen before.
And that's the thing. The book really highlights how important Arnold's background was because back then, pilots, they weren't just pilots. They were like these legendary figures.
Yeah, like astronauts almost.
Exactly. They were symbols of skill, bravery, all that. So when a pilot says, "Hey, I saw something impossible," people listened.
They really listened, especially when he's talking about these objects moving at speeds that, like, physics should have forbidden.
Right? Like breaking all the rules.
So people were like, whoa, hold up. If a pilot says it's weird, it's got to be weird.
It was like he was saying, "Hey, I just saw a car driving sideways on the highway. You'd be freaked out too."
Totally. And get this, this wasn't just some small town gossip. The book talks about how Arnold's story, it just blew up
Made headlines everywhere.
everywhere. And then it's like his sighting gave everyone else permission to talk about what they'd seen.
Because if a pilot could see something strange,
Then anyone could.
exactly, and boy did they ever. The book goes into detail about how thousands, literally thousands of similar reports started pouring in from all over the world. It wasn't just America, it was global.
So we've got this perfect storm brewing, a world on edge, new tech blurring the lines, and a pilot telling everyone about impossible flying things.
And what's the first thing that pops into everyone's heads?
Martians. It's like all those years of stories, all those signals into space,
All that Mars
it
mania.
all came rushing back. But here's where it gets even wilder. The book, it doesn't just focus on who saw the UFOs, it digs into the how. Like, how did this whole thing become such a big deal?
Good question.
And the answer, newspapers. Newspapers apparently were kind of a big deal back then.
Just a tad. You think with the World War just ending, they'd have bigger fish to fry than some lights in the sky, right?
Yeah.
You'd think so, right?
Yeah.
But no, the book, it's like it paints this picture. Open your newspaper right alongside, like, rebuilding efforts and peace talks.
The serious stuff.
Exactly. And bam, There it is, a headline screaming about flying saucers.
Get out. They really put these stories on the front page.
Front and center. It's wild. The book even compares the amount of UFO coverage to, get this, VJ Day.
No way. The end of World War II.
Yep. Think about it. 2 years after the biggest war ever, we're fighting Martians in the headlines.
Like the world needed a new enemy.
Right. Like we traded in Nazis for Martians.
The ultimate sequel. But, okay, what's really mind-blowing is how this whole thing went global. Like, it wasn't just folks in America seeing saucers.
Oh, it was worldwide.
Worldwide? How did that even happen back then? No internet, no Twitter to spread the rumors.
That's what makes it so fascinating. The source emphasizes that this was the first truly global news story of its kind. Think about it. No internet, no instant communication. Yet somehow, the news of Arnold's sighting and everything that followed it spread like wildfire across the globe.
It's kind of poetic when you think about it. Even before the internet, a good story could still bring the world together.
Absolutely. But okay, to be fair, it wasn't all Martians are invading. The book mentions that not everyone was jumping on the alien bandwagon.
Really? So some people are like, hold on, maybe those aren't flying saucers.
Exactly. The book, it points out this whole undercurrent of skepticism, even amidst all the craziness. Some folks are like, maybe it's just a weather balloon or, you know, a weird cloud.
Sensible people.
Right. Or they'd say, maybe it's some secret government project.
Which, let's be honest, wasn't that far-fetched an idea back then?
Exactly. And then, of course, you couldn't talk about 1947 without mentioning
the Nazis. Don't tell me. They were behind the UFOs, too, right?
Well, not exactly, but the book, it does go into this whole post-war obsession with Nazi wonder weapons. Remember, this is right after the war, and people are just finding out about all the crazy stuff the Nazis were working on.
Jet planes, rockets, the works.
Exactly. So, naturally, the rumor mill starts churning. People were convinced the Nazis had all these secret weapons stashed away, ready to unleash on the world.
So basically, we replaced one fear with another. Gone were the Nazis, in came the Martians.
It's like trading one villain for another in a comic book. But here's the thing. All this speculation, it wasn't entirely unfounded. The world had just been through this massive technological upheaval. Radar, jet engines, the atomic bomb, things that would have seemed impossible just a few years earlier were now reality.
So you're saying people were primed to believe in the unbelievable.
Exactly. The lines between science fiction and reality, they were blurred. And that's what makes 1947 so fascinating. It wasn't just about objects in the sky. It was about how we make sense of the world when it suddenly seems a lot bigger, a lot stranger than we ever imagined.
Okay, but here's the thing that really gets me, and the source really drives this point home.
Mm.
It wasn't just everyday folks seeing these things. It was pilots. Up in the air, in their cockpits, reporting UFOs, pilots seeing UFOs, not just some lights in the distance, but like up close and personal. That changes everything, right?
It really does. And we're not talking about a couple of isolated incidents here. The book mentions something like 70 documented cases of pilots from all over the world reporting these encounters. 70. And get this, these weren't just fleeting glimpses, you know, something zipping by in the distance. We're talking experienced pilots, both civilian and military, describing objects performing maneuvers that, like, defied all logic.
Like, what kind of maneuvers are we talking about?
Well, think sudden changes in direction, speeds that shouldn't be possible.
Like something out of a movie.
Almost. They were seeing things that just didn't make sense aerodynamically speaking. And that's what makes these pilot sightings so compelling.
Because these were trained professionals.
Exactly. The book, it stresses how these weren't just regular folks misinterpreting things. These were people whose job it was to understand the sky, to know what was up there.
And they were seeing things they couldn't explain.
It's one thing to have people on the ground report something strange, but when you have pilots in the air seeing these things firsthand, it adds a whole other layer of credibility to the whole 1947 mystery. It's like, you can't just dismiss it as, oh, they didn't know what they were looking at.
It really makes you wonder what those pilots must have thought, seeing these things up close, to be up there in the sky and to witness something that challenges everything you thought you knew about flight. About technology.
It's no wonder these sightings had such a profound impact. It's like suddenly the sky wasn't so familiar anymore. It was this vast, unknown space where anything seemed possible.
So let's put it all together. A world still haunted by war, the rise of incredible new technologies, this enduring fascination with Mars, and now pilots telling everyone about these mind-blowing encounters in the sky. It's no wonder 1947 became, like, the year of the UFO.
It's the perfect recipe for a cultural phenomenon. It's like all these different elements collided at just the right moment, creating this perfect storm of fascination and fear.
And probably a good dose of excitement too, right? I mean, who doesn't love a good mystery, especially one that seems to defy explanation?
Absolutely. It's the unknown that draws us in. And I think that's one of the big takeaways from this deep dive. It's tempting to get caught up in trying to find that one definitive answer, you know?
Like, what were the UFOs? Where did they come from?
Exactly. But the book, it cautions against that. It's not about finding that one smoking gun, that one piece of evidence that explains everything. Because the truth is, there's probably not a single answer. It's more about understanding the bigger picture, the historical context, the cultural anxieties, the technological advancements.
It's like trying to understand a hurricane by just looking at one raindrop. You have to see the whole storm to get the full picture.
Exactly. And I think that's what's so fascinating about this whole topic. It's not just about UFOs. It's about us. It's about how we as humans respond to the unknown, to things that challenge our understanding of the world. And more importantly, it's about how those responses, those narratives that we create, can shape our understanding of not just the past, but the present and the future, too.
So what you're saying is maybe the real question isn't what were the UFOs, but what did they represent to the people who saw them?
Exactly. What did they symbolize? What hopes, fears, anxieties did they tap into? Because those answers, those are the keys to unlocking the real mystery of 1947. And who knows, maybe by understanding the past, by unraveling those narratives that have shaped our thinking for so long, maybe then we can start to view the UFOs of today, the unexplained phenomena of the present, with a clearer, more critical eye.
And maybe, just maybe, by asking the right questions about the past, we can finally start getting some answers about the present. Well, folks, there you have it. Another deep dive into the world of UFOs. But remember, the conversation doesn't end here. Keep your eyes on the skies, stay curious, and who knows? Maybe you'll be the one to finally crack the code. Until next time, keep exploring the unknown.